The following program contains the opinions of the host, guests, and call-in participants. These do not necessarily represent the views of this show's distributors or sponsors. This program may contain obscene, profane, or otherwise objectionable language. Viewer discretion is advised. Yes. Hello. Hello to Giant Head from Minnesota. How you doing? It's 11:01 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States, 8:01 p.m. on the West Coast, 1 minute after 2 p.m. in the afternoon at the Sydney Opera House here in Northeast Minneapolis. It's 10:02 Central Time, Daylight Time. I'm Jim Peters. Welcome to another edition of Jim Peters at Night. This is show 103. If you're counting at home. And yeah, it's nice to see you folks. And do you know where your president is? No, you don't, do you? He doesn't know where he is either. I'm just telling you right now. All right, so we got a fantastic show for you tonight. It's April Fool's Day. And for April Fool's Day, we have the Month in Review panel. They're going to be on. That would be Larry Newman, Tim Conaway, and Don Zorro will be here. They'll be here shortly. I'm going to give you right now what we got going on here in the next few days. Well, I'll tell you what we got going on, and I don't know if you'll like this or not. Depends on whether you like this show. After tonight, I'm taking the rest of this week off, and then we'll be back next Monday. That will be April 8th. It's Monologue Monday, especially because we're going to be gone a whole week. I will yak for the entire hour, hour and a half. You can call in, talk about the news, whatever. Talk about your feelings. You know, I'll talk about your feelings. Sure, why not? And then the next night after that, that would be a week from tomorrow on Tuesday the 9th. I'm taking that off too. Sorry, got to do it. Don't have a choice. Wednesday the 10th, Jeff Meyer will be here from Conk News. And we normally run a commercial with the Conk News, but because we've got so many people on the screen and in the video queue tonight, I'm not queuing up their homepage. Let's just you want to check that out. That's at conk.com, conk.com. It's a news aggregator. Best news aggregator on the internet. I'm not fooling. Go check it out. It's completely free. You don't have to sign up or anything. It's basically a one-page website. You go there. The news changes every 3 hours. It's fantastic. Check that out when you get a chance. Anyway, the CEO and publisher of Conk News, Jeff Meyer, is coming on next a week from this Wednesday. That's the 9th. Don't have a guest for the 10th. Big guest this coming month, later on this month, that would be Thursday, April 25th, Kathleen Marden, basically UFO royalty, one of the most famous people and UFO researchers in the United States. She's going to be here. It was her niece. No, she was the niece. It was her aunt, Betty Hill, who was involved in the Betty and Barney Hill abduction scenario from 1961, which is arguably the most documented alien abduction in at least U.S. history. There was actual physical evidence of it, and it's a long story. The aliens apparently told Betty Hill where they were from, and she drew a map. They showed her a map, and she drew the map. And turns out they discovered that 30 years later, yeah, there's a solar system there. Who would have thunk it? You know. Anyway, and she's written numerous books along with Stanton Friedman, who's passed away now, he was also arguably the most famous researcher in ufology. So he passed away six years ago, if I'm right. Anyway, so she's coming on the 25th of April. We got the big time guests here. We started a minute late because Larry Newman's so goddamn fascinating. So caught up in talking to him that I missed the countdown. it's like launching a rocket. It's unbelievable. Like launching a locket. Yeah, that's what it was like. So, all right. Okay. Now Don Zorro isn't here yet, but I think we might just start anyway. We got, That's yeah, I got it. Oh, all right, one more thing here. One more thing is, so you see this down here. Now, this is all the ways you can call into the show. I'm going to ask you tonight, because we're going to have so many people on the screen, not to call in with your camera. In other words, don't go to gemini.com/call and push the button. But you can. I encourage you to call in with the audio dial-in number. That's 563-999-3435. You can talk to us if you want to do that. Or if you just want to send a text message in real time, I'm reading them. Got a screen off here to the side, 408-458-5088. That's what we got. So Conaway's here. Newman's here. Zorro isn't here, but I know he's coming because I talked to him today. So let's just, without any further ado, let's put a few people on here, okay? Here's 12 seconds of bumper music. Look how handsome you guys are. Oh. Hey, Tim. Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I had some BFW grilled chicken earlier.
Some what? What?
The BFW grilled chicken dinner.
Oh, yeah.
Potatoes and canned green beans. It's pretty darn good.
Well, aren't we lucky we're not in the same room with you then? And Larry's in the middle. Hi, Larry.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. So Larry was telling me before the show started that he's got a major, major storm in his area. So if he cuts out, yeah, we understand. So, you know, not that you want to just cut out anyway.
Yeah, I had hail falling during the monologue. So
yeah. You know, hold on. What is that? What is that?
That is Oak Creek Blonde Root Beer.
Oh. Root beer. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But it's blonde.
Yeah, blonde.
I prefer blonde.
Right, blonde. No coloring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, well, it looks kind of like wheat piss. So.
and you like the blonde, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, let's just plow ahead, guys, because I talked to Dom this afternoon, and he's so I'm under the impression he's coming. So, I mean that literally, not figuratively. I got a few things here. It's of course, April Fool's Day. So I just want to read you, these were two headlines in the Babylon Bee yesterday. One says, Biden condemns Jesus for rising again on Trans Day of Visibility. Yeah. And the second one is, Biden grants Trans Day of Visibility to the segment of population with most visibility of all in human history. And isn't that crazy? I mean, they got a trans day. There aren't any trans people. It's like, you know, we've talked about this a million times. I mean, there's so few of them. It's unbelievable. When we were on Conk News, Tim, I estimated there are probably only 10,000 trans people in the United States, and you said no, 5. That's what you said, no, 5,000. I still remember this.
It's just a tiny, tiny group, but there are all these people, all the followers who've been convinced, persuaded that we have to put this as our first priority in America, and pour out our hearts over it and that kind of crap. And so, you know, because all these people got sucked into it now, you know, there's some kind of voting block. But,
yeah, isn't that crazy? Because they aren't. They aren't a voting block. You know, it'd be one thing if you were catering to a bunch of voters, but it's not a bunch of voters.
No, well, yeah, they probably don't register to vote. They don't participate in society other than, you know, try to stand out, which is what I think a lot of it is, particularly, you know, since they've indoctrinated kids that they can make decisions about this kind of thing when they're 12 and 13 years old. So they get to stand out, you know, from the crowd. Every time I see this kind of stuff, I think, you know, I thought it had all died out with the other fads that were going on at the time, but I guess not.
Well, we can sit here and talk about how out of touch, how crazy administration is, but we don't need to because they're doing it for us. You know?
Yes.
I mean, they're showing everybody their stripes. We don't have to tell them. They're doing it themselves.
I read. And yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Just, go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, it's becoming almost a comedy show if it wasn't so sad and so serious.
Well, that's absolutely correct. I mean, you're absolutely right. It would be funny if it was if they weren't being serious. That's right. I read a couple things this last weekend. A couple of people have said exactly the same thing, and that is they're doing this. It's deliberate. Just because. Oh, are you singing, Tim?
Yeah, I'm obsessed with my camera angle.
Yeah.
Because it's.
I just want to make sure you're okay. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the table is not sliding away. Or any of those kinds of things.
At any rate. I read a couple of things this weekend that where people were saying that they're deliberately doing this to get a reaction out of us, you know, and I can't think of any other reason you do it.
Well, and we need to not give them the reaction. I mean,
well, right.
Other than point out the obvious is that they've totally lost their minds.
Yeah, right. That's exactly what I think too. I mean, and in some ways you could say we shouldn't even be talking about this, but you know, it's like we talk amongst ourselves and there's five people watching this in New Zealand or something. I don't know.
We can talk about them losing their minds and it is ridiculous what they're doing and everybody can see it. But what's scary is they're serious and to desensitize a population of citizens to this stuff, talking about, you know, the trans and all of the multi-gender stuff. They're desensitizing us, just like Clinton did in the 90s with a lot of things. And it is a serious situation. And I do know what they're doing, but it's so outlandish, ridiculous to most of us that we just think that they're crazy, but they're not. It's a scary thing.
I have this on the rundown too because I thought this was kind of an important point. You guys know who Richard Dawson is? Excuse me. He's a very famous atheist. He wrote, I can't remember the name of the book. He wrote about 20 years ago. It was basically a screed on how God doesn't exist, all this sort of stuff. All right, that's fine. So, but he came out in an interview this weekend. For Easter, and he said, if I had to choose, he said, I'd be a Christian over it as a Muslim any day, which I thought. Also, the other thing he said, which is really interesting, I don't know if that's because he's mellowing as he gets older. He says he's still not a Christian, but he likes living in a Christian nation. He's now said that he's glad Christianity exists, even though it's not for him. And I thought, well, okay, that's kind of a cool, you know, that's a cool thing to say, you know, I guess, you know, I don't know. Not cool, but he's pointing to the fact, I don't know if you guys have been following this, like for Easter, they used to put in London, there was a park where they used to put up Easter lights, and this year they put up Ramadan lights. They did not put up Easter lights. And that's because basically England is in the process of flipping from a Christian to an Islamic nation. It actually is. You know, and I'm not the only person who's talked about this. I mean, if you...
we're sitting here looking at a perfect example of what's coming here. 15 to 18 million cross our border illegally, invading our country and bringing those philosophies with them. That's what happened to England. They let all the Muslims come in there because they overpopulated France. So they had to go somewhere and they swam the English Channel. But they got to England, and that's how you change and destroy a society, is you infiltrate. We can go back, I don't know how many thousands of years, and look at the invasions of every people across the globe and how that worked. you know, and if you study history, you understand that when the Genghis Khan and all of that came across the Far East and invaded clear into Europe, they came into villages that didn't go along with them, and they killed or enslaved all the men and raped all the women. And the reason for that was that when they came back through, then the children would be half and already institutionalized to their way of thinking. So now we've got 15 to 18 million people invading our southern border, and vast majority of them are young men. What's the ultimate purpose here?
And the other thing is, you know, people can say, well, you know, look at this conversation we're having and say, well, you're bigots. But the thing is, a society, a country has to have some sort of identity. Otherwise, it doesn't exist. You know, otherwise, you're not a country, you know. So
Right. Our
identity has always been tied with Christendom. And so you just can't replace it. I mean, you know, Tim, tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, you know, what we're supposed to be is an open society that accepts all of these people melding into, you know, into one group. You know, whatever your religion is, you can practice it because you're in America. And, you know, you don't stand out for one or the other. You're not chastised or criticized because you do one thing or the other thing. But that, you know, that's the idea. How it really works is everybody holds tight to their view on this stuff because they've been taught to hold tight to their view on this stuff. And the more that they're criticized or ostracized, the tighter and more, you know, vigilant and violent that they get. When I was a kid, Mount Olive Baptist Church on 4th Street was a black church. And the people in there used to sing gospel music. And some of us, when we were, I don't know if we were even teenagers yet, on Sunday we would be right around doing stuff. And if we went past there and they were having their services, we would sit and listen, sit outside and listen because it was really nice. And, you know, we told the nuns about it one time. Well, this was like before the ecumenical council. So, yeah, we weren't teenagers. But they got all over us because we were participating in services that weren't Catholic. And, you know, they were Baptists. And you know, that's the reality of it is everybody clings to their little piece of God, or of their God. And they become militant eventually when these differences are pointed out instead of where the similarities cross. You know, the ideologies and the realities never, ever meet.
You know, I remember when we were doing a weekend show at Conk News, and I don't know who was on the panel, but I still remember I said this because you guys shot this down, and I've come to realize in retrospect that you guys were right, I wasn't. And what I said was that I always thought that the founding fathers of the United States, they just, when they were talking about, you know, in the Declaration of Independence, when they were talking about freedom of religion, I just always assume they mean freedom of Christian religion. Now, but I've since read that both Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson were really into world religions, that they knew, they were very, very well aware of Buddhism, Hinduism, all that sort of stuff. So I was obviously wrong. But that said, like I was saying before, you know, a country has to have an identity, and an identity is certain founding principles. And if your nation is founded on Christian principles, well, you just can't throw them out. You know, but I guess, I don't know. Maybe you guys, you know, Larry, maybe you're right. Maybe that's
the
goal, you know.
You talk about the Christian principles, and everybody thinks that that has to be, you know, a religious thing. A lot of the founding fathers read the Bible and were believers, but they also looked at the Bible as a roadmap on how civilization should work, how to treat fellow man, and that a lot of that went into what they did in the Constitution when they in 1776 when they signed the Declaration of Independence. It was all men are created equal and given rights by their creator.
Yeah.
Okay. They didn't institute a religion into the Constitution or any of their documents. You won't find references to, well, it has to be this way because the Baptists say this and the Protestants say that and Catholics say this. It was, we are setting down the parameters for a nation to treat all citizens in a certain way. And yes, it was, you know, the Christian Bible was their what most of them were familiar with, but there were numerous other books and writers that they had read, and most of those gentlemen were very well educated. Attack Christians because, well, that they.
Oh, we're losing you, Larry. You're breaking up. Let me see Larry's
it's
mouth
still
is
going on.
Larry's mouth is moving, but no sound's coming out. Well, hey,
yeah. And what Larry is saying.
Hold it,
is,
before you go on, Tim. I got a question for you because you're
going out. Come back in.
Yeah, you're out. Okay. Tim, you're a constitutional scholar, and this is, I don't know if you guys have been following this, I find this extremely disturbing. Larry, what you were referring to is generally considered what's called, quote-unquote, natural law, which is like natural law, but in constitutionally, or at least in the Declaration, was considered laws set down by God that supersede any laws that any government could make. You know, and now there are people, there are leftists who are starting to say that's bullshit, that there are no natural laws. And I just find this extremely disturbing. And Tim, you know the Constitution as well as anybody. I mean, you know what I'm talking about here, right?
Right. Well, and, you know, the First Amendment religious freedom was, it was established so there wouldn't be a state-sanctioned religion.
Right. That's correct.
And so, you know, the reason that it's considered we're considered a Christian nation is because most of the early European settlers were Christian or Catholic.
Yeah.
We didn't have, you know, a lot of people from other sects, but the idea was that the state could not declare a religion to be first and foremost, and it couldn't declare any religion to be illegal or outlawed. So in that regard, you know, constitutionally speaking, we're not a Christian nation. We're a nation of absolute religious freedom across the board. But natural law is, there are just certain things that exist from time immemorial.
Can you hear me, Jim?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah. Don Zora joins us. Hello, Don.
Yes, Don.
You know, what happened was I was watching this show that I'd heard of called Resident Alien.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've
you
seen
heard
it.
Of this thing?
I've seen it, yeah.
I've completely forgot about it.
Yeah, it's hilarious. I know. It is. It's fantastic.
But it was all for a good cause anyway.
Yeah.
Tim, carry on. Carry on, please.
Okay, well, we were talking about religious freedom.
Hold it. Tim, show Don your bottle.
Oh, yes. Everybody wants to see my bottle.
Look, he's got blonde root beer.
Blonde root beer.
What is that?
Old Soul, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Bottled,
I mean, I could
week.
Figure out no better way to toast you guys on the most important day of the year.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you missed the beginning, so Like,
did I? Okay, you'll have to fill me in later. But,
And Larry's got a cigar, so, you know.
Oh.
Now, Don, we should tell you, Larry's got a really bad storm where he's at, so he could cut out any second. Matter of fact, before the show was on, he already dropped out once, so.
Oh, so we're going with that excuse?
Yeah, we're going
now?
With yeah.
Okay, that's fine. You know, I mean, you
it's
could
as
just
good
said
as
you're
any.
Able, you could have just said that old, you know, gastritis case was coming back or something, but fine. We'll go with the storm.
So Don, what we're talking about here is we're talking about the Trans Day of Visibility, how it usurped Easter. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, about that. So what we need is a day of visibility for the people who are like the most ignored people on the planet
yes,
now, right? Because, you know, that's just something that never comes on the news.
Right,
nobody
right,
talks about it.
Right.
It's not all over the internet. We have to be absolutely sure that we grant them even more time, because having one third of the entire year's calendar just isn't enough. And what was the basic Zorroism that was said a couple of years ago? No matter how much you give the left, say it with me, it's never enough.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So naturally, until the entire freaking year of 365 years is as pink as a fuchsia, that's a flower, right?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. then they're not going to be happy. They're not going to be happy. I mean, just as tangentially speaking, it's like people that are now, they're now pouring oil all over electric cars because that isn't enough either. You know, so this is just the basic tenets of the left. No matter how much you give us, it's not just going to be enough. You've got to give us more.
Yeah.
So
that's such a huge population too. I want to harken back to this, Don. I don't know if you remember, but I'm kind of talking about old times here too, because I already brought this up once before. We were doing a weekend show on Talk News, and we were talking about the transgender thing, and you said to me on the air, I still remember this. He said, and you know, and the touchstone here is you and I are born like a month apart. We're almost exactly the same age. Okay, mm-hmm. And you said, you're talking to me. You said, Jim, how many transgender people have you known in your life? You're 68 years old. And I said, two. And you said, same here, two. Two 68-year-old guys. And we've probably met more people than the average person based on because of what we've done for a living.
Right.
So,
right.
You know,
right.
So, right. I know nobody, basically. I mean, I've basically only known one real transgender person my entire life. And here they've completely not only taken over the calendar, they've taken over religious holidays too. Unbelievable.
Yeah, as it happens. So I have to add one more to that pile, because I wound up now with someone that I work with not in my main field, but in another field. Someone who actually learns from me, and this person used to be a girl. And now has tattoos all over the body, has taken hormones. She's got a beard now that she has to shave.
How old is this person, Don?
I'd have to say around 24 or so. So I got to say that once they reach that age of around adulthood, if they really feel like they want the internet to rule their lives and determine what kind of person they're going to be, and they've got the money and chops to be able to deal with either an adidectomy or chopping off whatever it is, then, you know, fine. I think everybody with any common sense just comes down with this business of children who might still be believing in Santa Claus, wanting to believe that they're the other sex.
Well, you don't have
people do in the privacy of their own home or what they do to themselves. It's none of my business, and I don't care. But don't push it on me.
Right. Yeah.
Well, Larry, I know you mean this, but I'm going to qualify your statement. You mean adults. You don't care what any You don't care what any adult does, and I don't either. You're right.
Yeah,
if you're 24,
it's a scientific fact that people's brains aren't totally 5 years old.
Yeah.
So how are you going to make intelligent decisions other than learned ones? You know, we've got this problem in the criminal justice system. Everybody wants to say, well, every criminal is a mental health patient. Well, no, they decided they're going to go out and do what they did, and that's not mental health. Now we're talking about something that really is a mental health issue to some of these people who really believe, have convinced themselves that this is normal and okay.
Good, please.
One of the things I noticed over the weekend, I was watching a lot of the March Madness basketball tournaments, and I was watching the women's tournaments, and it occurred to me, you know, out of all the, I don't know, they start with 68 teams or 64 teams or whatever it is, out of all those teams that are in March Madness, not one of them had a player on there who was born with male genitals claiming to be a woman so he could play basketball in the women's conference. And I was also thinking, if there were such a person, how the women who play that sport, let's see that so-called, you know, she-male drive to the basket and see how hard they get hammered coming in. I mean, the women play the game as tough as the men. I also noticed that, you know, we have now have a professional women's hockey league, or we've had for a while, but this is a major league. And there aren't any people with male genitals claiming to be women playing in that league, because I can see them getting smashed through the boards on that as well. So I thought, well, that's kind of interesting, because they'll invade sports like swimming or tennis, but you know, when it comes to contact sports, there none of these people seem to feel like, you know, oh gosh, I'm a woman and trapped in a man's body, and I'm going to play basketball.
All right.
Well, we have no problem in the contact sports with women participating. NASCAR is wide open to it. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Is that a contact sport?
Yeah. NASCAR, hey, if you're a woman, you want to get out there and drive, come on.
But
you're welcome.
The cars aren't supposed to touch each other, Larry.
No.
Well, and until they do.
Which is why everybody wants, you know, okay, you're changing the subject here, but I do have to say this, and that is I'm not the least bit interested in watching women play hockey. I'm just not. Now, I don't have any problem with them doing it, you know, but if you're expecting me to pay a ticket to watch, no, it's not going to happen.
Listen, I'm barely even interested in watching men play hockey, less women. It's just fine. I mean, I wonder who's going to be the first female baseball player, because you know it's going to happen.
Yeah, it is going to happen.
But,
that's right.
You know, what position will it be? And, you know, will it be a pitcher? Or will it be a catcher? I don't know, but I mean, if you can find me a chick who can hit a 95 an hour fastball, more power to
it. No, it's going to happen. I know. Not to mention the fact of the NFL is going to have a female place kicker at some point. That's going to happen too. There's already girls tearing it up in college. So, you know, that's going to happen. But yeah, but the thing is, at least it'll be a, I'm assuming it'll be on the merits anyway. You know, if you can kick an 80-yard field goal, you know, they're going to hire you. It doesn't matter whether you're from, you know, Mars, you know. Speaking
of resident aliens.
Yeah, that's right. I was just thinking that, right? Yeah.
You guys were talking about aliens when I came in, weren't you?
Were we? I don't know.
Yeah, I think no.
Yeah,
I mean, I mean the kind that come from the.
Oh yeah. Water. Oh, that's right. That's right. Yes, we were. Yes, we were.
When did we drop the whole alien thing and turn it into just immigrants? When did illegal immigrants? Period. When did we just completely whitewash the idea that there were the difference between legal and illegal?
3 years ago.
About 3 years ago, right? It's something like that. So it was
soon as Biden opened the border. And yeah, other newcomers.
Newcomers. That's what it would be interesting to do a timeline of the way that the language has changed, because we realize that whoever controls the language controls the body politic. And I remember the very first foray into this was this is back in the day when I have to confess that I watched Oprah for a little bit. And some woman started saying, she said, no, we can't.
John,
we really
Larry is shaking his head.
I know. For my sins.
Well,
for my sins.
I got to admit, I did too.
He's willing to admit it.
As a student of broadcasting, I watched her. I mean, she was pretty damn good at her job.
Yeah,
I mean,
but way back in the day, and I remember she had a guest on, she said, no, really, the terminology we should be using is undocumented. What was it? Undocumented worker or undocumented immigrant, something like that. But that was the beginning of the change in language. And like it or don't, Oprah's show had a huge influence on the way that we spoke.
Yeah.
And so that was the beginning. Everybody looked to that show for finding validation in the new way to speak. So
in between
her
trips to Epstein's Island.
Larry?
Right? Yeah.
Larry?
Who was it? At this point, who wasn't?
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm deaf.
Did you get that, Jim?
No.
We're talking about Oprah.
Yeah. I got that, Larry.
Between her trips to Epstein's Island.
Black lady.
Did she go?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yes.
I didn't know that.
He was a guest. Oh, yes.
He was
guest
big time. Yes.
Something. The guest list, I don't think, had any unwanted aliens, which is my term. This recent thing, this is, not in the past month, but it was month before that, where they're talking about some bill where it could give the president the power that if the borders got too overwhelmed, that they could declare that they were just sending everybody back instead of letting them come over and get their court date for 3 years from now to see if they qualify for asylum. I'm thinking, why in hell? We're already past that point, and why don't they just do that anyway? Why do we have to have an act of Congress to say, let's shut the border down and send everybody back? But big deal was made out of it, and it's like, this is stupid that they're even talking about setting up some standard for doing this instead of just doing it.
There is a standard already been set years ago.
Yeah.
You make application to come to the United States. If it's approved, you come. If it's not approved, you don't come. That is long established law, and that's the law that is on the books now that they are ignoring and turning on its head.
Yeah. And then they're acting like, oh, we're trying to pass some legislation to deal with this. It's like, yeah, it's already there. Just do your job.
What I don't understand is how this movement of leftists that are supposedly all about fairness don't understand fairness when it applies to people that want to get into this country. So you've got people who don't have the luxury of sharing our border that have to pay whatever amounts of money, have to deal with the lawyers that they have to get, all this stuff to get through immigration properly, the way it's set up. Broken or not, that's the way it is, and people do apply correctly.
Where do you think your taxpayer dollars go?
Well,
there's another thing too here, and that is, and Don, maybe you can speak of this because you and I are both first generation Americans.
Because I'm an illegal alien, is that
no,
what you're
no,
saying?
No, I'm say,
No.
No, your family came here legally. My family came here legally, and what the
so you think?
The unwritten story here is that legal immigrants are really, really pissed off about this. My 99-year-old mother is furious just furious about the fact they're letting people in illegally. I mean, she stood in line. Your parents stood in line.
Can she hold a machete? Can she hold a machete?
No, no, I don't think she can at this point.
Can we just let Mama Peters loose? That would be a pay-per-view of the mother of all.
She'd probably enjoy it.
And she would, and she'd know how to use it too.
Yeah, she probably would. That's right. But no, that's the thing. No, people, there's a large subset of people who are very, very pissed off, because it's the same thing with the student loan thing. If you paid your student loan, I mean, God, aren't you mad about the fact that a whole bunch of people aren't?
Well, yeah. I'm just mad about how stupid they all are when I listen to them talk and realize they can't string five words that make sense together.
We had that discussion before you came on, too.
Oh, well, probably good that there was here, because I was in a position where I actually lost my scholarship. And so my dad went out and took a loan for school. And when I graduated, he said, here you are. And I took the loan payments gradually, paid them off in a year. And if you can't do that, then you know what? Well, let me just say it this way. Fuck you.
Yeah. That's fine.
Okay.
We've got students at Vanderbilt that called 911 because they weren't allowed to leave their illegal sit-in and come back.
Yeah.
Over, you know.
No,
over
now this is actually
thing,
you do know this, Lair. It's because she needed a tampon.
They called 911 and said, "Hey, we
not kidding.
Won't let
that
us
was
leave.
The reason." She told
no.
the guys the 911
if
operator
she. Could
she
leave,
she needed a tampon. She needed a tampon.
As long as we're on that, then let me ask a question. You know how you have these climate people that glue themselves onto the sidewalk?
Yeah.
Why are we prying those people loose?
Yeah, I don't know.
Leave
exactly.
them there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Leave them there.
That's right.
But they're saying, I want to stick to this. And I'm saying, you know what? Let me oblige you.
whole,
you do that.
The whole thing is we don't allow people to take responsibility for their own actions.
No, as a matter of fact, Larry,
eliminated that.
I will posit that that's actually one of the things they're trying to do. They're trying to eliminate the concept of self-responsibility. I think the left, that's one of the things the left trying to wipe out here. Nobody's responsible for their own actions. No, even talking about the criminals like you were talking about. You know, yeah, people have terrible lives, have terrible childhoods and all that sort of stuff. And maybe there's some mental instability involved. But at some point, you have to be responsible for your own volition. You just do, you know. You just can't go, you know, shoot somebody and say, oh, I didn't mean it. Or, you know, it's like bullshit. No, you killed somebody, you know.
I was having a stressful day when I sold that kilo of cocaine to a bunch of street butchers.
Yeah.
The whole lack of accountability thing. And then flip it around, the state prosecutor, or whatever he's called in Minnesota, Keith Ellison, longtime Democrat, is attempting to sue Glock, the Austrian firearms manufacturer, because their guns can easily be converted to automatic weapons with this thing called a switch. He's not suing the people that make the switch. He's suing the manufacturer of a gun that people apply that to. And there's a guy that was arrested in my part of Perplex here with a firearm, I don't know the brand, that had a switch on it. He was out on bond or bail or whatever they call this free, let him go free kind of thing, when he committed another crime with a firearm that had a switch on it. And he said, I'll be out in a month. And I'll just get another switch. So they'll go after an Austrian firearms manufacturer because that makes headlines, but they don't put the damn guy who uses it in jail in the first place, and they don't find the people who are supplying these illegal accessories to get them, that would be work. And that's the other part of all this stuff. For people to be held accountable, and somebody has to do the job. And nobody wants to actually do the job that they're supposed to do in government or in corporations.
Well, now, isn't Keith Ellison also the guy who is investigating two auto companies because their cars are, Larry, buckle your seatbelt, their cars are too easy to steal. So
yeah.
He's going after the car companies because
yeah.
the cars are too easy to steal. And, you know, who can resist that? Could you?
I
bet you
how
see a car.
Is it, how is this guy even a dog catcher?
Hey, I got to tell you guys, I had a personal dealing with him last year, and he came off even worse in person than he does, like, you know, through the media. I mean, I can't tell you. I just found this guy. He's just a disgusting fucking human being. I mean,
is he stupid? Does he just come off as a stupid person?
Yes, he's a stupid idiot. He is. Yeah. Now, I have to say, conversely, I also dealt with Governor Walz last year personally. That was the opposite. I have to say, he made a pretty big, good impression on me. I've always, you know, he's a Democrat and he's kind of wishy-washy, but I have to say, dealing with him on a personal level, he was attentive. He asked the right questions. He was engaged, and he made a good impression. Ellison was the opposite. I mean, he came off worse than I was even expecting. I mean, this guy's just a jackass. I had to get that off my.
Talking to Don's point or to Tim's point a while ago, you know, my business, what I do for a living, surety bail bond. My job provides accountability to the court and provides closure for the victim. Because if I got the person on bond, they're going to go to court every time. Case is going to be closed. Victim's going to get closure, and you walk on. But they've eliminated that. They don't want that. They don't want them showing up. And then they tried this ankle monitor thing. Well, nobody will pay for that. So they've got the states to pay for it. So that's more of your tax dollars going for something that doesn't work. It's just every idea they come up with is just so out in left field and ridiculous. You've got to wonder what they're thinking.
Well, all right.
Well, they're thinking, how can we do this so we don't have to do any work? We don't have to do the job.
That's the deal. Let them go. Don't charge them. Let them go. Let them go out and do it again and again. And there's so much money to be made with these politicians on the side and under the table. They don't care.
Yeah.
They really don't care.
Yeah, and it is amazing. It seems like every idea they throw out, every and any idea except the ones that actually work. That's the thing I find amazing too. But
yes.
Well, that's how they keep their jobs, isn't it? If you're in a job where things constantly need fixing, why would you go into something else? Why would you, you're guaranteed employment for, you know, forever and ever. As long as you keep everything screwed up, you're guaranteed employment.
You know,
yeah.
You know what the biggest single the example of that, Don, is I still remember this, is December 2000, Clinton's leaving office and he decides, I'm going to fucking fix this Israel Palestine thing once and for all. So he brings Yitzhak Rabin and Yasser Arafat to the White House. We're going to hash this out. So I don't know if you guys remember this.
Yep.
Rabin and Clinton basically gave Yasser Arafat everything he wanted, everything.
Yes.
And
yes.
He said no, and they didn't believe it. But in retrospect, Clinton said, and I totally think he's right, he said he didn't realize it at the time, but in retrospect, he realized that if Arafat solved the problem, he's out of a job, you know? So the problem is
just like Al Sharpton,
yeah,
Jesse
yes.
Jackson, and all these guys.
Right.
It's the exact same thing. If we solved race relations, or if we realized that we solved race relations a while ago, all these people, this guy Crump, who does the who's always gets in the middle of these court cases.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
He finds racism in court cases. Benjamin Crump, is that his name?
Yeah.
And he's another one who's just an ambulance chaser. They're all ambulance chasers, and the ambulance can change whatever metaphorically it needs to change.
You all are old enough to go ahead.
I said, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hey, guys.
All old enough to remember the beginning of 2008. And the beginning of 2008, we had a very small race problem other than Sharpton. But we really didn't have a race problem. Things had worked out, smoothed out. Everything was working fine. So what happened in 2008?
Larry, if I can interrupt you, we were actually, and we've talked about this on Talk News numerous times. We were looking at the end of the problem. How little it was. It's like we were going to finally solve this in the United States. Yeah, and you're right. Then the whole, you know, because yeah, somebody needed a
it was Obama and that situation in Massachusetts with that professor
that was
and saying that the police there acted stupidly, and that was the catch. Then came Ferguson. When did Ferguson happen? What was that like?
2013
or something like that.
Yeah,
that was that. And then all of a sudden, they lied about everything. Are you guys aware that a play that was done using all of the verbatim testimony from the Ferguson trial?
No.
And it's called a Theater Veritas or something like that, and all they do is with this Ferguson case was use the what was said in the trial, and it all completely shows, you know, the exoneration of this cop. But man, there are so many things about this. I remember a newscast where these three women were on the air, and they all had their hands up like this.
Yeah,
you know, this whole hands up, don't shoot, something that never, ever happened.
Yeah,
right.
And I tell you, the power of the media in this country, well, probably I shouldn't just say this country, but really, but everywhere.
Yeah.
It's incredibly powerful.
You're talking January 6th all over again.
But,
Same thing.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Conversely,
never really happened. None of the propaganda ever really happened on January 6th.
No, how can you have an insurrection where not a single person who entered that building actually had a gun? Not a single person actually had a weapon on them. It's crazy. That's not an insurrection.
They were invited in.
It's a tourist trap. I mean, shit. Now, before we go on, guys, I have to mention, we have at least two people in the video queue here, but because the video queue has so many people in it, I literally can't reach them. So if those people are watching, sorry, I can't put you on right now. My apologies. So anyway, I just want to point that out. Now I think we got a third, but whatever.
Put them on. Good problem.
I know. I got problems, Don. It isn't easy being me.
Before you refuse them, is any one of them female and cute?
I can't tell. I literally can't see them. All
you
I know is that they're there.
What, has she got a mustache?
No. Well, you have a mustache.
And I'm cute. Bingo.
I know there's a reason I do this.
we're talking about all these issues that are in the public eye and everything. But when you step back and you take a look at everything that's going on, it's a really scary situation that we're in right now.
It is. I agree with you, Larry.
Yeah.
But yeah,
go ahead, Tim.
The scariest part to me is we've got two contenders for president, neither one of which should be in office. I know some of you guys support Trump, but, Trump's personal behavior can't be separated from his other behaviors. And his anger and indignation over these trials, whether they're merited or not, is also fueling that part of him, that part of his ego where he wants to get even. Biden is an absolute waste and doesn't run anything. He's, you know, all these far left idiots are actually running him, and they pump him up with Adderall every now and then so he can come out and speak halfway clearly for 10 or 15 minutes. They must have used a gallon of that shit for the State of the Union address. And as my wife said the other day, well, she thinks that, you know, they're keeping him going until after the election. And if he wins, then they can haul him out and we'll have the Kamala, riding through the desert. And which, you know, is probably true. I just worry about that neither one of these people is, to me, the kind of person who will lead us the way we need to be led right now. I think that there's going to be major chaos that comes from this. And the real chaos, you know, if the government shut down tomorrow, the federal government, the people who get handouts would be in trouble. I mean, we'd need to keep the Social Security office open, and that would be, you know, about it. The military can actually run itself, but if the economy goes in the tank, and that's what I'm worried about in the next reign of terror, whoever has it, that the economy is going to go into the tank, that is going to be the kind of chaos that you can't get out of.
So let me ask you, do you think that Trump would be a less effective president the second time around, assuming that he won on this?
If he came in to do the things that he wanted to do the first time around, and he was better educated now by the system, and he's got two problems. His idea of loyalty, it goes one way. Anybody who does what he wants to do. So smart people or people who might challenge his ideas or say, you know, there's a better way, he doesn't want around. But if he came in and just concentrated on running the government efficiently, that would be one thing. But my fear is he's going to direct so much of his time and attention to getting even with all the people who have wronged him in these past 4 years, that he's not going to be paying attention where he needs to be. And if he appoints a bunch of ass-kissing yes men to do everything, they'll be lost on their own because they're afraid to go ahead and do something. So that's my worry there.
I'll tell you why I disagree with you.
He's never had yes men around him. He's always had people who stood up to him and told him what they think, but go ahead.
That's why I disagree, Tim, is that I think he's got a lot to prove. He's got a lot riding on the idea that he is not going to be another Biden. So I think that he would eschew the whole idea of revenge politics. I mean, he'd talk about it for a while, but I think on day one, he would get in there and do the things that he talked about, much like he did in the first. I mean, it's just the feeling that I get from everything that I think he's learned a lot in these 4 years that he's been off. And I'm going to make my call now. I think that he is going to choose Tulsi as his vice president. I think he's going to skip over what would be a good political choice of Tim Scott to get more of the black vote. And I think he's going to jump over and he's going to choose Tulsi as his running mate. And that's
Don. That's really interesting because that's the impression I'm getting from, I get emails and stuff from, you know, from reporters and stuff. That's kind of I was calling Tim Scott for a long time, and I'm starting now to think you might be right about this. There are other people who are saying the same thing, that he seems to be leaning toward Tulsi. I don't know. It'll be really interesting to see what happens.
That would be, I think, the ultimate FU to the Democrats. First of all, because she was a Democrat and she left them because she was disgusted. Now, how disgusted is she? She doesn't have to be any more disgusted than just say that. Is that she doesn't believe that the Democrats are who they are because she has no power.
Yeah.
As vice president, she is a figurehead.
Right.
She represents the women's whatever, and she's hot, and she's got the military background. There are, I think, a lot of reasons that the optics dictate that you go for Tulsi edging out Tim Scott. So, by the way, I've been working on the Trump accordion thing, you know, where you have uh-huh. you accent with the hands back and forth. Yes. Somebody actually did it. Did you see that, Jim?
Yeah.
Somebody actually put a Photoshop of an accordion in his hands.
No, actually, I haven't seen that. I haven't.
It's hilarious.
I do know there's this guy who comes on Gutfeld's show named Tyler Fisher who does a killer Trump imitation. I don't know if you've seen this. It's perfect.
No, I've not seen it.
Oh, man.
I'm going to put my 2 cents in here. I think one of the biggest mistakes he made was not estimating the sheer depth and scope of the swamp rats.
Totally. Right.
That he was going to try to clear out.
Yeah. And Larry, before you go on, Larry, he did know the swamp was there. You're right. He misestimated how big it was. That was the problem. Right.
Exactly. Exactly right. It's depth and it's breadth. In Washington, D.C., knows no bounds, and we're seeing the effects of that, the evidence of that even now. As far as a running mate, I would like to see DeSantis as a running mate, and the reason I say that, he is a guy that has proven that he can stand up on his own 2 feet, he can make things happen, and does the right thing, like Trump. He doesn't always agree with Trump, but he makes himself heard. And I think that Trump's only got 4 years.
Right.
So who better to step in and carry forward in 4 years? Somebody who's already shown that strength and that ability to do the right thing, stand up to Disney, although that's not that big a deal, but still, he has shown himself to be strong in what's right. I think DeSantis would make a good choice.
How about
Tim? Who do you like?
Tim Conaway.
I haven't been following this part of it that much. I know there's, you know, a lot of talk and we've still got a few months. And by the way, standing up to Disney is a big deal. They are huge. The Disney Corporation owns ABC and ESPN and some of the FX channels that Fox had to sell off when they split up. And there's dialogue. Standing up to Disney is big, but see, again, most presidents do not want a strong person as their vice president.
Right.
I agree with you there.
Historically, it doesn't happen. It makes sense for what you say, particularly because of the four-year limit and then, you know, move the guy on. But I don't know. Tulsi Gabbard sounds like a good political choice for all those reasons. Tulsi is as strong as Dyler's right arm. And And Tim Scott is, to me, that he's weak. You know, he's achieved some things, but he's the kind of guy that Trump could put in that spot and the guy would stay in the background and do what he's told and that kind of stuff. So from tradition, he's the most likely.
Well, Trump doesn't like that kind of person, though.
All right, hold on.
Go ahead.
Dialar's here. Hi.
Is this the portion of the show where we take off our clothes?
I've been waiting for this for years. can we hear you? Hello. Speak up.
He's muted.
You're muted, man. You gotta unmute. You're very strong. Very strong. But we can't hear you. We can't hear you. Yeah, okay. Very, that's fantastic. That's great. Bunch of old guys, and now we get a young guy. All right. Unmute yourself.
Did Dialer have a sister?
We can't hear you.
Come on, Dialer. You got to get it together now.
Yeah.
We can't hear you, man.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, now we can hear you.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Jim, first off, I just want to say thank you very much.
You're welcome. You know, we had a hard time getting you on there. We got a big queue. But
I know you guys had a kind of a queue here, but I've just been watching you guys for a little bit. I really think that it's pretty cool what you guys are saying.
Oh, thank you.
And
we think you look pretty good without a shirt, man. I will speak for the other old man.
I don't
think
that way, but I appreciate it.
I will speak for the other old man on the planet and the panel here. We all looked like that at one time.
Yeah.
Long time ago.
Yeah.
Don Zora, I did not mean to interrupt what you were saying. Continue with what you were saying. I'm going to sip a long drink.
Oh, you got the long? Okay.
Join the club.
Best drink on earth, I'll tell you. That or gin and tonic?
Tim has a blonde there. He's blonde, yeah.
Oh, man. That's like a not your father's root beer type of thing.
Yeah.
Right. Tastes pretty good.
Yeah.
Tastes pretty
good.
Just
thought I'd try new stuff.
If you like gin and tonic, you got to try one of these.
I do like gin and tonic.
What's your go-to gin?
I got to say, my go-to drink is scotch, probably Laphroaig. So,
Okay. Yeah. What about Glenlivet?
That's all right. It gets the job done. Yeah. I can't name a single malt that I don't like. I don't know. You know, they're all good, you know, and I'll even do Dewars in a pinch. So
for gin, I think it's got to be Hendrix.
Hendrix, that's a go-to. Have you had that Hendrix like Orbital or whatever it's called? It's got that weird fucking eye on it.
I don't know.
Just trying
that's
to
a special
trade.
Breed right there.
Yeah.
I'm into RC Cola myself. But...
RC Cola.
RC Cola.
Oh, man.
Well, you guys aren't making fun of I kind of like RC Cola. Are you making fun
of
Larry and I? Well, yeah.
Of course you do.
It's not bad.
I got a guilty little secret here, guys. I'm a cream soda fan.
Okay, so you never say I've got a guilty little secret when you're naked.
I'm not naked. I got this on. That pretty much covers the majority of it.
Oh, my God. Well, hey, I'm going to throw this out here if you want to join us here, Dialar.
What are we doing?
Bitcoin's up 64% just since the beginning of the year. And today, some analyst said it's going to go up to 150. And that, after bitching about this for 20 fucking years, I'm starting to think they might be right. You know, I've never,
I don't
understand this to save my life. I don't.
So what? Every 4 years, the supply of Bitcoin, the way that Bitcoin is produced is through mining. So when a transaction occurs, you get a bunch of people who mine, they eventually find the key. Bitcoin is then created. So the transaction occurs if Bitcoin's created.
Right.
Every 4 years, they then have that supply.
Right.
So we're coming up on a four-year mark right now. 64% times 2, 120, 128. That's what we're looking at.
But here's the other side of that. The other side of this is that Bitcoin can't be a currency because there's a finite amount of it. At some point, it will be done. It will all be mined.
Exactly. But that's no different than any other fungible currency that we have. I mean, there's a limited supply of gold.
Gold,
it's
exactly.
Very valuable, you know.
Right.
If I were to hoard all the gold in the world and hide it from everybody else, it'd even be even more valuable if someone else were to find something like it.
Well, I think they made a movie about that back in 1964. It was called Goldfinger.
Goldfinger?
Yes.
Yeah, James Bond Goldfinger.
he went away.
Oh shit! I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, there he is. But
it kicked me. I was worried.
Now it says you're Don Zero.
No, I did not change that. What happened there?
I don't know.
Hold on.
No one understands this, man. It's the internet.
Yeah, that's true.
That's right.
It's cyber ripping.
It's okay, Jake.
Well, you know, I get this. I have a colleague at work who got into Bitcoin when that shit was like in the pennies.
Oh yeah, yeah, right.
It was when that thing was like 5 and 6 cents.
Right.
To buy it, and I was just, you know, laughing. I said, "What the hell are you doing? What the hell are you doing?" He's doing just fine. Just fine. Amazing. I still don't get it, but he's doing fine.
Don, the first transaction with Bitcoin was some guy bought a pizza, believe it or not, delivered. That
30,000 Bitcoin.
Now, what is it, $500 million or something like that? It's unbelievable.
I don't even want to think about it.
It's ridiculous for pizza.
Because we all, as much as we bitch about it, we all wish we got it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but for 15 years, I've been saying, this is going to crash. This is going to crash. I'm giving up. I don't think it's going to. Because the difference.
Now.
No, go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt, Jim. I got a question.
Yeah.
You guys look like a fit group of guys.
Well, relatively.
Well, I am. I don't know about
that. That's right.
One,
that's right. Don is.
What did you guys, any of you guys hit the gym or work on the farms or anything like that today? Tim, I see you over there.
I did. I did.
Represent. Larry's over here.
I crawled on the tractor and spent about 20 minutes, and that was it.
There you go.
Well, let's see. I taught about 3 hours of karate today.
Yeah,
that
that's what Don does.
That's
and then he goes
good.
Off and
that's
kills
good.
People. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
I walked across the parking lot at the BFW.
Hey,
no,
you had to walk back too. That's quite
good. That's a long way.
Tim was a comedian. That's funny.
I also had to walk down the stairs and then back up the stairs.
Yeah. And then you had to.
I would have thrown in the towel at that point, Tim. You did half the work. You did twice as much as I did today.
Oh my God, no! I've got nice hair, Dollar. That's my only deal. That's all I got going on.
Shit, you got hair.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, I got to thank Brittany for that. So it's like she makes me look good. So.
I got to go grab another one of these boys. I will be right back.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, yeah. So now we're looking.
He does have pants on.
What was that?
He does have pants on. When he stood up.
He does have pants on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. That's correct. Yeah, he does. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm going deaf. You guys know that, though. All right. So, yeah. So the Bitcoin thing, it looks like, I mean, I'm giving up. I've decided it's real. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me at all, but whatever.
Well, see, what I still don't understand about Bitcoin is like, okay, I've got $500 million worth of Bitcoin somewhere up the blockchain. And if I wanted to say, okay, I'm going to cash in my $500 billion of Bitcoin, you know, which bank do I go to take it out in dollar bills?
You put it on the net, somebody buys your Bitcoin.
Yeah, there are markets.
Like a stock. It's like if you had a company that didn't do anything and it just had stocks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, there's an investment.
Yeah.
There you go.
But, hey.
That's not financial advice,
it's working.
Guys, by the way.
Hey, you know something, guys? I want to touch on this before we left. Now, this is just an offhand comment that Don threw out, but this is really important about how the media has so much influence. But lately, the media doesn't have a lot of influence. I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen these surveys, but the mainstream media, the influence of the mainstream is absolutely crashing. And not to mention the ratings. I mean, CNN's ratings have been going down every month for 3 years, and they're still going down. And people say they can't go any lower, and they do, you know?
Well,
so,
when you take NBC, who does the unforced error of hiring Rona McDaniel and then succumbing like the New York Times did to a bunch of know-nothings and just say, oh, okay, and unhiring her I mean, then you've got to understand when the fish is sitting there on the deck after you've taken it out of the water and it's flopping around and you know that it's dying and you still somehow have faith that that fish is going to be able to swim. This is the state of the media now. This is the state of the Democrat Party. This is the state of so much of leftism. They don't know what they're doing. They are steeped now in desperation. Going on. And I'm going to tell you, I'm just eating popcorn, watching this whole thing happen.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you guys read John Nolte on Breitbart, but he said that's exactly what he says, Don. He's eating popcorn and he's just relishing in it, you know. It's like, and, you know, you have a point there. Is that my theory has always been that as society more and more perfects itself, and this goes back to the thing like what Larry was talking about 2008, where we had almost kind of solved the race problem, and then they raised this ugly head again. Society is going to become more conservative because there's less need for change, and that's where the liberals and the Democrats, that's always been their thing, you know? So as they're going to become, they will become more and more irrelevant.
You see, and this is why a lot of folks don't understand why a lot of old folks like us are so pissed, because we lived through the 70s. We lived through the 80s. We saw this stuff all getting better.
Yeah, right.
And now all of it got, because of George Floyd and his stupidity, that got all completely torpedoed. And what a damned shame. What an absolutely damned shame it is. But my theory is that things happen for a reason, and that sometimes you have to have things become so bleeding obvious that the electorate says, okay,
the
maybe we've been wrong. Right. I mean, this is not to get too biblical here, because I don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to the Bible, but when it comes to something like Sodom and Gomorrah, it becomes so obviously corrupt, so obviously just wrong, that people do turn away from it and look for something better and just let it implode. And that's the best thing we can do, is stay out of the Democrats' way, stay out of the leftists' way, and just let them implode while we march on and do other stuff that's actually productive, which is a very difficult call, because of course who's in charge of that is the freaking Republicans, who don't know what they're doing, don't know how to manage, and don't know how to organize things so that everybody is on board. And this is the big issue, is that we've, it's like having a wonderful piece of gold in your hand, and you say, okay, you're about to hand it over to a bunch of people who have absolutely no idea how to take that gold and keep it brilliant and keep it big. And this is the way I talk after I've had about a half a bottle of wine. Okay?
Yeah.
So somebody else had better take over before this shit gets very sick.
I got you, Don Zor.
That's right. Tim's going to talk now, and he's been drinking root beer. Go ahead.
Yeah, what Don Zor is talking about, and I'm only having one root beer, though, is this generation of change. And you know, he mentioned the George Floyd situation. A lot of that was fueled by everybody's got their phone camera going when things were out there. So we're getting, these aren't trained news people. This isn't always the full story. This isn't stuff. That's part of that kind of thing. And with the mainstream media stuff, it's like the Florsheim salesman was saying back in the 1990s, every time a funeral procession went by, they would say, there goes one of our customers. People don't, most of the people who are active now in the workplace and active in politics and active in society are getting their information from social media, not from NBC and ABC and
That's
CBS
correct.
And CNN. And the people who are less active in the world. The boomer population is still about 30% of the entire population in the U.S. But most of these people are not as active anymore. And, you know, the Republicans, you were saying it used to be all the people registered as Republicans would come out and vote. You could count on that. Well, those people are older now. Maybe they're not coming out and vote. Maybe they're not paying any attention. Maybe they don't give a crap anymore. But, you know, it's this generational change. And this next generation, like you say, doesn't know how to make a gold chart. You know, they know the gold is worth something, and they wish there was somebody they could hand it off to do the job for them, because they're certainly not going to do it themselves.
Hey, Dillard, how do you pronounce your name, Dillard?
Yeah, Dillard.
Dillard. All right, may I assume you're under 30?
I'll give you that.
All right, how would you describe your social media interaction? Like heavy, medium, light, none?
Say that again, sorry.
How would you describe your social media presence? Heavy, medium, light, or none?
It's pretty much none. I mean, I think social media harms a lot in mental health for individuals. I mean, you look at somebody who's living their best life, but it's the one picture that they had out of, 24 hours of a day, they take one good picture of how they're hanging out, you know? And usually it's a girl with really big, a great personality. As the 40 song would go.
Really big eyes.
Big track to land.
Man, you know,
I got a lot to offer.
So Dillard, I don't know this, and I'm not making this up. Tim Conaway was the editor of Hustler magazine for 15 years. So he knows all about that.
Oh, there you go.
I know.
There you go. He knows a thing or two.
Yeah, he does. He knows a thing or five.
It works for a lot of things.
With somebody who's under 30 like myself, you know, we don't watch the news. I don't watch TV. I can't remember the last time I watched TV because every 10 minutes you get a, 5-minute break of ads.
Well,
that's what it's all about.
Are you on, do you watch YouTube or anything like that or TikTok or do you do that shit?
I watch one YouTube channel that describes the news to me. It's called Sir Swag. And he, every month, at the end of every month, he posts a video called News Without the Bullshit. Sorry if I...
No.
I don't know.
I think the name of the show would be News of the Bullshit.
What he does is he has a group of editors that break down exactly what's happened. He reads through, they read through multiple different news media outlets and kind of boil it down to a place without much, red or blue. They just kind of make it clear. So they break it down. They point strictly at the factual events that have occurred. And, I watch that at the end of the month, and I get to learn about what happened while I was, fucking working and working out. You know, that's all it was. But, people my age have kind of seen through the veil of a 24-hour news cycle. And, honestly, it's not really beneficial. I've seen lately that a lot of these channels have had, wait for 35 seconds or wait for a minute and a half in order to see the program. And it's not because I had this realization. It's because not enough people are paying for ad space. Because a lot of ad companies have realized how shitty these fucking channels are. They don't care. Whether it's right or left, it doesn't fucking matter. I mean, people aren't paying for that space. They don't care. So now they have to fill it with some filler of other stuff that they've watched.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's
But if you're not on social media, do you ever feel left out? I'm not on social media either anymore. I got out.
Let me tell you something. I got a little active. I'm telling you some Zoomer you know, information here. Active means I went out on the town in my suit, slick back hair. I had the pomade in, that Dapper Dan shit. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, Dapper Dan.
I had that Dapper Dan shit in. I had my fucking glasses on. I was getting active. You know, social media doesn't help a lot, but when you go out and meet somebody face-to-face, they can look at you. They can see your body language. They can, as weird as it sounds, they can smell the cologne you got on.
The pheromones, yeah.
A lot more effective.
You know? No shit. Well, I'm glad you discovered it.
Absolutely.
I know, because a lot of people don't, you know?
You know, if you saw, I got my office across the hall there. If you saw my office, you'd think I was in the 60s. U.S. steel desk. You know, I might as well have that green fucking lamp that they have in Indiana Jones when they're looking up documents and he slides underneath the table with the motorcycle.
My accountant still has one of those.
There you go. I, you know, I wish I could tell you what I do, but.
That's all right. Don
cool.
can't
cool.
either.
That's
so,
cool. Yeah.
You know, he can tell you he teaches Taekwondo, and that's about it. So.
No, I do not teach Taekwondo. That's like
he teaches karate.
I teach something else.
Oh, I'm sorry, Don. Excuse me.
Don, I'll tell you what.
Dangerous.
But Don goes
off. I'm actually learning Taekwondo now.
Okay.
Taking classes.
All right.
3 days a week.
All right. Good.
I
don't know what it is related
to
Twinkies. Karate, but you know, I'm excited to learn. That's all it is.
That's pretty cool. I'm glad you joined us. Hey, I'm going to wrap this up, and that means Don's going to tell a joke. But Dyler,
to tell a joke? I don't tell jokes. I tell stories that I've lived in my life. Like, let me ask you something.
That
have you
are
guys
really,
been
really
to,
funny.
Have you guys been to Ireland?
Hold it. Just have hold it before to... you go on. Dyler, would you go to our website at jimandknight.com and go to the contact page and send me an email? I'd appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
can I tell you, after Don tells a story, I'd love to tell a joke.
Yeah. Oh.
See what you
okay.
started.
All right. Don, you're going to be one up. All right. Okay.
Have you guys been to Ireland?
No, I haven't.
I've been to Ireland, and it's a wonderful place. So this is one night in particular. I just walked quietly into a bar and just kind of decided I would observe what was going on. And so there's Paddy and Van in the back, and he's rinsing all the glasses. It's late. And I noticed over at one of the tables that there was a fellow who had his share of the drink that night, and another one sits down right opposite him. And he says, "Hey, you look a bit familiar to me." He says, "You know, you do too. Where'd you grow up?" He says, "Right here in County Cork." He says, "I grew up in County Cork. Let's drink to that." And so they drink to the County Cork. "Well, now, what school did you go to?" "Well, I went to St. Mary and Bridget's." They said, "I went to St. Mary and Bridget's. Let's drink to that." And they drink to that. And they said, "Now, what street did you grow up on?" They said, "Well, I grew up over on Corcoran and Danville." "I grew up on Corcoran and Danville." And these guys go on and on like this. And another fellow walks in and he goes to the bar and he says, "Hey, Paddy, how are you doing? It seems a bit quiet tonight." "Yeah, it's a bit quiet. McMurphy brothers are drunk again."
All right. Okay. All right. Okay, Dillard, go ahead.
Okay, I got you. All right. There's a male and female whale, right? They're surfing off in the Atlantic Ocean, right? Okay. Jim, don't get too happy now. Come on, I'm not even done.
I
haven't even hit the punchline.
No, I'm laughing because Don's laughing already. That's why I'm laughing.
Two whales in the Atlantic Ocean, one male, one female, start swimming, right? They're out for about an hour or two. It's a little cold water, and they see a fishing boat come up. And the male whale is very smart. So he looks at the name of the whaling at the boat, and he realizes it's the whaling boat that killed his parents. So he goes, he looks over to his girl, the female whale. He goes, "These motherfuckers killed my parents, and you know I just really need to do something about it." She goes, "Okay, well, what do you think we should do?" He goes, you know, I think you and I simultaneously should go underneath that boat, blow as hard as we can through our blowholes, and capsize that boat. So she's like, you know, I've loved you for a long time. Let me go underneath. We'll do it. So they go underneath. They blow it. They capsize the boat. All the sailors fall off the boat, and, you know, it's done. And they start swimming off. They get about 500 feet, and they look back, and they say, man, that was a good job. And the male whale goes, you know, they've caused me so much harm. I need to do something to them. I want to eat them. And she goes, look, I was down for the blowjob, but eating the semen, I don't know about that.
Oh, my God. Oh, geez. It's all devolved.
Women are all the same.
Oh, man. Hey, let me hold just a second. I want to see if there's one more thing that we need to get to, because I promoed this in the show description, and I told Larry about it ahead of time. And that is, in Washington State, some guy called some sheriff in some county somewhere and asked if he needed a license to hunt Bigfoot. And they actually checked, and the answer was no, you don't. Now, Larry brought this up before about the fact that, now I know in Oregon, it's actually illegal to shoot a Bigfoot. And
well,
there's a couple other states where that's true too, but in Washington, I just want to point out they had to check. Now, Dillard, what you don't know is that Larry's an actual certified Bigfoot investigator. So
really?
Yeah, he works for the Bigfoot.
Larry, tell me a little something about that.
They're big. They're covered in hair. They walk around at night on two legs. They have a language. And there's a lot more of them than we suspect there are.
Hey, Larry, I've never actually asked you, do they have any estimation on a Bigfoot count in North America?
Everybody is guessing, because there is no count. But just in Missouri, I've always estimated 500, but I'm beginning to think that's a little low.
Uh-huh.
So what? Does the majority of them work in McDonald's or?
Yeah.
Burger
no,
King?
And they don't work at McDonald's anymore either. Just like,
oh, damn.
Yeah. And anyway.
Well, I'm changing the subject now, and I shouldn't, because I got to leave, but. This was also in the news this week. You guys have noticed this? I actually didn't notice. There's nothing on the McDonald's $1 menu now that costs a dollar.
Right.
You don't have to tell me twice, Jim.
I'm not a McDonald's fan. I like McDonald's, but no, nothing on the dollar menu. That's a dollar.
Well, the dollar store doesn't have anything that's a dollar.
Well, that's true too. Yeah, you're right. You're right. And I love the dollar store. I just find that fascinating. That's American capitalism to me.
They should just call it McBiden's and be done with it.
Have you guys seen The Founder on Netflix?
No.
Oh, man.
The movie with Michael Keaton about McDonald's.
Yes.
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 Fabulous
old
movie.
Batman, Michael Keaton.
Yes.
He is the founder.
McDonald's.
You
guys, Ray Kroc.
Sit down for 2.5 hours, watch something.
I haven't seen the movie, but from what I understand, Kroc was an asshole. Is that the way he's portrayed?
Yes, he was.
Kroc was an asshole, but more importantly, he was a businessman.
Yeah, he got it done. Right.
He knew a thing or two about
businessman.
How to get shit done.
That's what it takes to lead a business, an industry, and a country.
Yeah. Well, I'm quoting a woman here, but I always thought,
Larry.
Faye always said in her biography, sometimes it takes a bitch to get things done, and she's right. That's all there is to it. And with that, guys, we're going to cut this off, okay? I'm not going to cut you. I'm not going to cut you off.
Well, you're not even Jewish.
No, I know. I'm not. No. I did have that done, though. My parents are Greek Orthodox. So you can imagine how that went. Hey, Dillard, thanks for joining us.
Can I do a little spread?
I don't know.
Him really hard today. I'd like to show off a little bit to the guys here. You
know? All right. Okay. All right. Okay. You're really hard. Oh, all right.
There
oh, that, that's fine. That'll work.
I'm.
That works.
The phrasing that you said, Jim, wasn't the best there.
I know. I know. That's right. I was a little. You know. I personally don't care, but I know some of our distributors get a little pissed off about this ship. But you're doing all right so far. So far, so good. Yeah. We want to see it. That's good.
You'll see me next week. Come
yeah,
on now.
Okay. All right. That's good. That's good. Well, actually, Dylan, this panel only comes on once a month, last Monday of the month. This was not the last Monday of the month, but we moved it this month. So
yeah, we're a bunch of old guys. You only come once a month.
That's right. Thanks, Don. You could not be more accurate either. But yeah, we do the show four nights a week, so Monday through Thursday, live. So. You know, yeah. So, yeah, please come back. Yeah, send me an email.
See my name back? I'll send you an email if you see my name back there. You know.
Thank you.
Add me up.
Thanks. Thanks, gentlemen. This is the part where I play the, hold on, I play the 12-second bumper music, and then you all disappear. So I appreciate it very much. Always, thank you. Thank you.
Tim, Larry, John, Jim.
Yeah.
Good.
Thank
you,
Dylan. Nice to meet you. Thanks. Well, that was interesting. It was, actually. It was pretty cool. So I want to thank Deller for joining us there. That was he was kind of a good guy. That was an interesting conversation. Nice to have somebody with a body under 30 for change, you know. And Don Zorro and Tim Conaway and Larry Newman, thank you so much, always. All right, so now you know what's going on here. I'm taking the rest of the week off. We're actually working here. I don't have a producer. I don't have a director. I don't have a talent booker. I don't have anybody. So I'm doing this alone. But what we are going to do during the break here is we're installing a new camera and new lights in the studio. I'm kind of excited about this. You know, Tim makes fun about the fact that I'm kind of a gearhead, but I kind of am because the lights are not going to be computer controlled, which is good to know. Very good to know. And the camera we've been using is pretty good. This one's even better. So I'm kind of excited about that. And then we're going to, you know, spend like a few days booking some guests, too. We're going to do that, too. So, yeah, staying the rest of this week off, coming back next Monday, the 8th, Monologue Monday, because we're taking a whole week off. There'll be too much news to talk about. So we plow through that. And of course, we always take your phone calls. It was Diller that called. Now, we actually had about three people in the queue, but I couldn't. When the queue gets too large, I literally can't see the bottom of it on my screen. So, you know, for those of you who logged in and we didn't pick up, our apologies, my apologies for that. But on more shows, especially on Mondays, when we do the Mile on Monday, you know, it's basically, it's open phones. So you feel free to call up. And you can get on with your camera. You go to jimandnight.com/call, or just if you go to jimandnight.com, it's the call-in menu button. You go to that page. There's a giant big button at the top of the screen. You click on it, you're in the queue. It's as simple as that. And we can also take your phone calls. Here, let me put this information on the screen so you can see it. We take your phone calls at 563-999-3435, and we take your text messages in real time at 408-458-5088. We do that. So I will be back a week from Monday. That's this coming April 8th. I hate to say this. I'm taking the following day, Tuesday the 9th, off again. I have to. And then we'll be back on Wednesday the 10th. Jeff Meyer will be here from Talk News. So thanks for watching, everybody. I really appreciate it. I want to thank the guys for a wonderful panel tonight. And, I love you. I'm just going to tell you that right now. It was Easter. You know, now, and whether you're here's the deal. Whether you're Christian or not, doesn't matter. The message is still the same. Love each other. You know, it's as simple as that. So especially your family. I've said this before. I know that some people have some reasons for actually not talking to their families. I understand that. I do. But most of the time, it's just petty. You know, if your father raped you when you were a kid, I understand why you don't want to talk to him anymore. I mean, you have a legitimate reason. I hate to say this. Most of you don't have legitimate reasons for talking to your family members. It's just petty crap, and put it aside. I know And it's easy for me to say that, but I hate to say this, in the majority of instances, it's easy for you to do, too. So, you know, love your neighbors, love your friends, love your family. That's what I have to tell you for the rest of the week until Monday when I'll be back, and hopefully you'll be back, too. So, good night, Esperanza. Good night, Esperanza. And good night to you, wherever you are. We'll see you next Monday. Take care. Thanks for watching.